WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We have our wise conversations around here, and this one's going to be chippy. We've already been chippy off the air about studio setups and podcasts, and we're about to talk about war and the internet and information of troll farms and whatnot. But I love having Mike Rosenfeld on. He is our chief digital officer. And as that, he does this for all sorts of people. He does outsource chief digital officering at Web Connection. And he comes on and we talk about things and we get together sometimes socially and on the air, off the air. And dude, the war breaks out on Thursday. And first thing I'm thinking about are these poor Ukrainian people and the people of Kiev. And I have Ukrainian friends, many friends, many friends of friends, all people that have been there. McCartney's putting up a Ukrainian flag from when he played out in the square there. So, you know, all that goes on. And then I'm thinking to myself, all right, I want to have Rosenfeld on because, like, the Russians have been waging an information war and a troll war and a social media war and a bot war and an information war and a compromat war on our country for longer than we know. And I know this. I put a thing up on Twitter about it today, and I take heat from people that don't believe it because ain't no goddamn Russians in my spray, not my timeline. And I'm like, I saw the stuff. So anyway, Mike is here because Mike's wound up and I'm wound up, and tanks are rolling into Ukraine, and here we are. I wish we were talking about like the baseball lockout or something, right? You know, something we can put our teeth for, something really important, right?
Well, me too, but maybe I can draw, it's inappropriate, but I was going to say draw parallels to just leadership in general, because we're seeing leadership in a global stage right now, and bring it back to sports and, you know, who leads well. There's consistency among who leads well and who doesn't lead well, and groups that don't lead well fail, and that analogy applies to sports, but there's some serious crap going on that I don't even want to go to sports because it's just, you know, crazy what's going there. You know, a couple of our conversations, we've talked about Russia in general and how when you and I were growing up, it was, you know, the Russians were the boogeyman, and it was Rocky versus whoever that character was, and Rocky.
Have you ever seen the band list of Russian bands and music in the 80s? They banned things for sex and I put it up one time, and it's up and it's Russian, and then there's like a, you can see what Motley Crue looks like in the Russian language versus in English, right? But it was the late 80s. This is like Tipper Gore era, but this is pre-Pussy Riot, right? So this is what spawned Pussy Riot, kind of, sort of, was there were literally banned songs in Russia in the late 80s. And I remember when Billy Joel went over and played a show, I think he sort of was the first artist to like go on the other side, play St. Petersburg, Moscow. It was like a goodwill thing right around the wall going down late 80s, early 90s in Berlin. And the figurative and literal walls going down. And I just think about like all of that in the 80s and how that turned into me showing up in Miami and everybody from Russia has a yacht.
Right. Well, look, I would challenge all of your listeners, no matter which political side, U.S. political side they're on, to get angry, not only with what they're seeing on TV now, but recognize that over the last 6 years, probably more, we've been manipulated by this country to try to go at each other's throats. And if there's no other time for us to rally around and remember what it was like to be,
you know how hard that is to make people, the regular person on Facebook, that, I mean, for me, I saw it on all these patriot things when Trump was running 5 years ago, that these were clearly not English first language people. And then when I got involved in conversations on the internet, I saw the bots come at me. I've had the bots come at me 3 or 4 times, not a lot, but enough to recognize it for what it is. and to say, oh my God, if I was talking politics all day, they, and this has been well researched, right? That mm-hmm. the Russian government puts together troll farms is what they're called to mm-hmm. of English speakers to literally go in and
mess with us,
act like they're us. And, yeah. and there's absolutely Zuckerberg was okay with this. All of this has happened. And you talk about billions of dollars of value politically or foundationally for the Russian government to kind of think at some point they could just roll into Kiev and no one would notice. We would just look the other way on it, that the world would look the other way on it. And this was calculated on Putin's part, and it's not going well here in the early going.
No, and it's both extreme sides of political parties that they've been messing with, and I hope that this is a galvanizing moment, and it is for almost the both sides of the aisle from the political standpoint are rallying around and condemning what's going on, which is a nice first step. And just remember what things were like. But it's not very often in your lifetime and in my lifetime that you can see in real time the development of an individual. And I'm talking about Zelensky, who is going to go down in history as one of the great leaders. I mean, they're talking about Churchill type stuff and you know, Lincoln type stuff.
I don't need a ride. I need ammunition.
Well, he just spoke within the hour. So I'm dating our conversation here. Maybe 2 hours. He spoke to the EU. He wants immediate admission into the EU. And from his bunker in his army green t-shirt, he addressed the full body of the EU via teleconference. And in the middle, and I don't know if you saw this because you were probably working, the translator, who was a German translator, had to pause because he was crying, basically translating what Zelensky was saying. By the time he was done, he got a standing ovation, which from what I understand, I don't watch a lot of EU broadcasts, is unheard of.
Don't let them exterminate my country. Like what part of you all build bombs over there in America and you build bombs all over the world and you build militaries to make sure people don't get exterminated. What makes what he's doing different than what Hitler did 100 years ago, which is kill innocent people?
There's three outcomes for him that I see. One is he's going to be killed, which he'll immediately become a martyr. Number two is he's captured and made a political prisoner. Either way, he'll still be a martyr and people will rally around his release. The third option is he somehow escapes this. No matter what of those three things happen, he's going down in history as a great leader. And like I said, it's very, it's not often that you can see in real time someone that you can say you're watching a historical figure in real time. And it just boggles my mind and my
and it's happened in 5 days.
Right. I also found something unusual out. You know, my grandmother, we're all children of immigrants, right? So it's like, where did your family come from? I always knew that my grandmother came from Russia, but when I knew that she came from Russia, it was when it was the Soviet Union, when I realized that my grandmother came from Russia. But I just found out from my first cousin that, in fact, my grandmother came from Ukraine. So I looked up the town she's in or grew up in and was born in and saw where that is in relationship to all the stuff that's going on. So, you know, now it becomes a little bit more like personal. Not that it shouldn't be if you don't know anyone who's from Ukraine, just watching what's going on.
Well, every one of my family members is in Venezuela. So you can only imagine that like in 1986 and 89, I flew down there to be with my family and visited. That's something that's just not available anymore, right? Like it's not North Korea, but it's not a place you go. You don't go to Venezuela. I mean, it's beautiful. Beaches are beautiful. Money's cheap. Whatever. You just can't go. And right. And I the Soviet Union was always a place we couldn't go, right? And listen, I have friends that went to Moscow and St. Petersburg, invited me. I had some regret for not going. I had a chance to go to St. Petersburg with a friend, and we were going to go, like, go do it and do all that. I never did it. I'm never going to do it, I guess, right? Like, you think that way, right? Like it's like, am I ever going to make it to downtown Baghdad? Maybe not, you know? Right. But, you know, I harbor thoughts of going to the Taj Mahal. You know what I mean? I don't harbor thoughts of you know, climbing Mount Everest, but I'd like to go to Africa. You know, there's some things I'd like to do. My wife and I were on the phone literally in the last 10 hours. And, you know, the guy had saved her life's over in Germany. She's like, I guess we can't go to Europe now, huh? You know, like that this thing is, it's a global thing and it happens more quickly than maybe even a week ago when we were talking about baseball or who the Ravens are going to draft or the things that you want, even the Terps, like they had a great weekend reunion and a game and all that stuff. But it is amazing when these real life things happen, you can't take your eye off them, right? And you can't stop thinking, like, how did we get here? Like, where did we get to the point where this guy thought this was just going to be okay? And this was, he was going to be able to sell this to the world.
Well, everyone processes these events differently. Prior to the invasion, you know, months ago, I mean, I've been just really down on, you know, the division in our own country, no matter what side you're on. And there are good people on both sides that just,
yeah, and I don't like, I don't want to fight about it anymore. You know,
neither do I. And yeah, to be honest with you, I feel like I haven't fought about it for a year because it's, the temperature has been lowered a little bit, which I think is a welcome thing.
Because we have a sane leader, not one who's calling Putin savvy. I mean, F that guy. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. I mean, like, what part of right and wrong don't you understand? But then again, I witnessed a hell of a lot of wrong for 4 years here. And a lot of people that I thought were right people looking at wrong and saying, la, 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 I didn't see that. I didn't hear that.
Well, that gets
you wanted to grab her by the what? I didn't, where did you hear that?
Right.
You know, well, he likes Russia. Why would he like Russia? What? Oh, everybody in his building's from Russia. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, when he needed a loan after he went broke the fifth time, oh, the Russians were the ones that gave him. Oh, okay. Now I understand. Like, what part of these things could people not connect that at some point, and Hillary Clinton connected it, and whether you voted for or didn't vote for her, she was right. That doesn't make you right or wrong, but she talked about this relationship, and the minute he goes marching into a country to kill people, this guy stands up and says it's savvy. And then people on his side in our country have to follow the cult leader and say it's savvy. And then 5 days later, you got these jackasses at this fake network run by an Australian guy who's tried to talk about dividing the country, that they have to backpedal from it now. I don't know how you backpedal from I liked Putin 5 days ago. Like, that's a really tough reach for me.
Well, you go on, it's on record, you know, so we'll see how this plays out. But I will say that, you know, I've been looking at our own leaders, and even before this happened, and watching this Zelensky model of what a leader is, you know, I've been looking at just our elected leaders. You can pick on both sides of the aisle, and yeah, and they're not leaders, they're followers, and that is not what we need right now. So I am now looking at through a lens of leadership at these people who are willing to go on record and make the hard decisions to step out of line and say what's true, because that is what a leader is. And you know, part of me is like, you know, I wish we all, no matter, like I said, I'm trying to toe the line here. Maybe I shouldn't, but just no matter what side of
the, you're on a roll, dude. You're saying poignant shit that I'm writing down. So keep going. So that's what, you know, a leader is. That's the difference between a leader and a follower. Absolutely. Leading is really difficult. There's arrows, pioneers, man, always, right?
But how much more difficult can it be when you're in a bunker, when you could easily leave, like almost every other leader has in the past? You're staying.
He could be living in New York in an apartment somewhere right now, safe and as an actor, and watch his people get exterminated. Then what does he do?
You're demanding all men 18 years to 60, I believe, to stay. And you're staying, and you're walking the walk, and you're talking the talk. I mean, that to me is a leader. And we should expect nothing more than the people that we elect to be able to have the courage not to be in a bunker, not to bear arms, but at least to have the courage to stand up to your party leaders, once again, no matter which side of the aisle you're on, to do the right thing, to represent the people that you're elected. That is what a leader does. We have a bunch of sheep and followers, too many of them. Too many of them just want to hold on to their office, are afraid. There's just some problems, and we could fix them. I mean, term limits would be a nice place to start, but there's no incentive for people in power to have term limits. So good luck getting there. And, you know, maybe we as a country take a lesson from the Ukrainians and say, you know what?
To form a more perfect union.
We live in, most people would argue, if not the best, one of the best countries in the world, but that doesn't mean we're perfect. And let's try to shoot for utopia and take some lessons here. But this is just me being emotional based on what I'm seeing every day. It's not looking pretty. I'm hoping that the Russian people who have been lied to, just like we've been manipulated.
Well, can you imagine? You wake up in Moscow Monday morning. This guy goes to war. You may or may not know it based on the media there, right? And then you go to get on the subway in Moscow. And people say subway in Moscow. People have a very warped thought of the new world, that, you know, Asia and Africa and Eastern Europe are far behind and there aren't nice things. There's plenty of nice things in Moscow. Some people have them, some other people don't have them. They'll cut your arm off if you try to steal it, unless you're involved in the mafia and the government there. And then you can have a yacht in Miami if you want, because I've seen it. But I would just say, if you wake up on Monday morning and you're a regular citizen, which I would think that's 98% of the people in Russia, and you literally just pull your phone out. Yes, they have phones. They have all the modern things. They use their Apple Pay and their Google Pay, and you can't get on a subway. And your money, the money that you had in your bank account, the 100,000 rubles that you've saved your whole life, that has financed your trip to America and Las Vegas when you came in, and that trip that you went on to Dubai, and that time you went to France and took the family to Euro Disney because you're a middle class Russian family that has done okay for yourself, you wake up and the $100,000 is now worth nothing. It's worth nothing. And the future of your future is, until the rest of the world takes the pain off, you have nothing. And the runs on the bank, like whatever's going on in Russia right now, no one's credit card works. No one's money works. A lot of people's computers probably aren't working. And this is where I really wanted to get down and dirty with you. Mike Rosenfeld is here. He is our chief digital officer, Web Connection. By the way, I put a little ad out. We're looking for a WordPress person. If you're that person, or Tag Div newspaper, if any of that means anything to you and you're into the web development, I've taken on a couple of emails. Throw me an email, ness@baltimorepositive.com. The conspiracy people on the left side, on my side, I would say, they're going to hit the grid. You know, the Russians will hit the grid. Chinese will get involved in this at some point. And the Chinese are different. And the NBA would be the greatest example of this, because the NBA sells them stuff. And we buy tons of stuff from them. And they are a manufacturer of this, you know, all of this stuff, right? This, who knows, right? This. The Russians, we don't buy anything from them. We buy vodka and gas, right? And gas, great. I mean, that's our own problem, that we still run all of our cars on gas because we don't have to. But we're on that titty. That's amazing to me, still 50 years later. But the Russian economy and what's going to happen there, and their ability to manipulate the interwebs, and not just with compromat, but with hacks, with taking things down, with ransomware, with all of this illicit stuff that I really, that's why I wanted to bring you on, to say, all right, there's the war for my mind, to quote my dear late friend Pat D'Anizio in the Smithereens. There's the war for my mind, and I get that, and I've seen that. But there's the point where, like, they've taken down governments, local governments, ransomware, all of that stuff that the bad guy actors out there, where does all of that lie in the middle of a war as you see it? I mean, that's the amazing part to me, that at some point things are going to get turned off, businesses, there's going to be a Russian hacker who has availability to be able to do something awful to someone, that's going to be part of the war in all of this. I mean, the first thing they did was disable the Google Maps, right? Because it was being used as a war device in Google traffic, literally in Ukraine, right?
So who knows where this goes? I know that, first of all, the invasion of a sovereign country is messed up. The going on record to say that your nuclear weapons are on high alert is just crazy. A statement yesterday that any damage to Russian personnel or equipment that was a result of arms that were given to Ukraine,
this is a typical bully thing. If you defend yourself, I'll beat you more.
How many American soldiers have died from the other end of a Soviet made gun or weapon, whether it was Afghanistan or anywhere? I mean, that's just not the reality of how these things go. So we think about how he's been messing with us over the last, you know, X number of years. Imagine growing up your whole life in Russia based upon the stuff they spoon feed you. Then all of a sudden you're finding out that, your Apple Pay doesn't work and there's no money in the bank for you. And your ruble is now worth less than a penny. And your interest rates are 20%, which I don't even remember, even in the worst days here in the United States, days like that.
That's sweet, so, daddy.
And look, you have to be open-minded and realize that you can't believe everything that you're hearing. But if it's true that Russian troops are like, we thought we were liberating you and you're throwing Molotov cocktails at us, we were represented that we were coming in as heroes, and we're not. We've been lied to. So they're finding out because they're crossing over into a free country where the reality is hitting them in the face. So the question is how.
And these are 18 and 19 year old kids.
Yeah.
That they're finding dead along the side of the road in Ukraine.
Exactly. So the question is how successful is the Russian government going to be in manipulating the story that the reason that you're starving, the reason that you can't get money, the reason that nothing is working is because the West is trying to overtake us, and they're going to, I mean, we have, you know, there's this group Anonymous, these hackers, are you familiar with Anonymous?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're just doing a lot of damage. We somehow got to go in like with Radio Free, you know, Europe and America and basically just hack into their TV and give them a more balanced offering of what's really going on, and hopefully allow them to make an educated decision. Like, yeah, this doesn't smell right. You know, that this is happening.
We've had to do that in our own country.
I went to Europe in the second year of the Trump presidency, and I could feel the disdain or the lack of respect that was starting to happen to our country. I mean, and it was horrible. I didn't want to be associated. I'm a proud American, right? How would you feel if the whole entire world was aligned against you? And you knew it. You'd have to say to yourself, either I've done something horribly wrong or everyone else is crazy. And if you're a logical thinking person, you realize that the odds that everyone else is crazy and you're right is unlikely, unless you're so stubborn and stuck in your own way. So that's what it's like in Russia right now. But we don't know if the truth is being told. I would love to see people go to the street in masses. It's just a trickle pretty much now. And this guy, all he wants to do is stay in power. So maybe that's the only thing.
Well, he is now being seen for the terror that he is. He stood on the podium with Merkel. and Trump or Obama or, you know, pick any of the European leaders, pick any of the world leaders. He stood there with all of them as though he were a duly elected official while he's poisoning, literally poisoning Navalny, right? Like literally killing Magnitsky. You know what I mean? Like this is suddenly Bill Clinton's dead, Hillary Clinton's dead, Barack Obama's dead, and Joe Biden's dead. And Donald Trump's still running the country in 2031, and political opponents just dying or thrown off balconies. And we've done business with this guy and pretended and allowed them to own Western assets. That's really the story. The story is them coming over here and having boats and mansions and living the Western life with really, really dirty Eastern European mob money by a crime syndicate that runs a country, that took over a country, the KGB criminals taking over their own country.
And look, if you're open-minded, which I hope people are, but I know not everyone is, you can have a lot of things you disagree with the previous president, presidents before him, and our current president. But it's my opinion that this administration, as it relates to this issue, played a really strong hand of poker. To be able to go on record, to have Putin go on the record to say, these 150,000 troops aren't planning to invade. We're doing exercises here. Lie number one. Then our administration go on the record to say, we think something's imminent. We think he's going to try to have a false pretense for war. All these things by giving that out. So then he can't do that false pretense for war. So now he has to say, these two areas within Ukraine have asked us to come in as peacekeepers. Okay, so how does that explain going in through the south, going in from the north, not just going in from the east, now going into Kiev? Lie, lie, lie. So it's gone on record. This guy has been exposed more for what we all thought he was and believed he was. And my hope is that this message gets to the Russian people. Because they're proud people. And I believe that sentiment will be on the side of the globe, which is, what the hell is our leader getting us into here? This is unacceptable, and hopefully run the risk of taking to the streets.
Mike Rosenfeld is here. I bring him on to talk about the interwebs and leadership and how it all connects. He's at Web Connection. He's an outsourced chief digital officer and mine here at Baltimore Positive. Tell me what that means and how it relates to the interwebs and you knowing things about this. I guess right now, if my site got hacked and taken down, I'd say it must be the Russians, and I'd call you.
I would hope to be the first call. Keep in mind, I'm not the guy who does the bits and bytes, but I would make sure things were taken care of.
There is just such risk. I guess that's my point. The risk of my website being down for a minute or a week or whatever. It's a whole different thing when you're running a bank, you're running a business, or you're running critical data. It's just all proprietary stuff that we've just seen professionals get hacked all day long in this country, right? It's a way of life for bandits in the world, right? This is the new pirate ship.
Right. I'm not a paranoid dude, but I will say that based on not knowing where this thing can escalate to and the potential cyber issues, I went and backed up my QuickBooks data to have a copy locally. I went into the cloud for my Google Drive and downloaded really important files for my clients. Just because it's not unlikely that those could be targets for people just to disrupt what's going on here. Do I think that's going to happen? No. But if it does, I'd like to be in a position where I know what my bank balance was the day I did my...
Well, and if it happened, you'd say, oh, the Russians are at war with us. Yeah, of course. If they, do anything that they have to do, right? Literally.
I have more things to worry about. So I guess the easiest way for me to explain what an outsourced chief digital officer is to speak directly to your listeners who are owners of small businesses. Yes to these questions, you probably need an outsourced chief digital officer. If you have no clue what you're doing, as far as you have a website, you have someone posting to social media, maybe you send out emails, blasts, but there's no organized plan. There's no high level strategy to execute against. You're just winging it. That's when you probably need an outsourced chief digital officer. Most of my clients would never be in a position to hire a full-time chief digital officer. It's too expensive for a small business. But why should they not be in a position to have a high-level digital strategist on their team helping create the vision and executing there? So if you're tired of seeing your competitors regularly online look like they're killing it and you're just sitting there in quicksand doing nothing, that's kind of where we come in.
I watch my competitors too, and it's something. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, some get it and some like are just throwing things against the wall and hoping something sticks. That can be very expensive if you're not getting a return on your investment. So that's what we concentrate on. If you're going to make an investment in us and some of the recommendations we offer, we sure are going to need to show that we're providing a return on that investment.
So would I get more clicks if I started a dumb internet rumor like Carlos Correa is going to sign with the Orioles for $350 million? If I start something stupid like that, would that be good for business to get cheap clicks?
It would. My son shared that with me yesterday. I'm like, what? I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Well, probably guess what? Probably it is. It is insensible.
Well, maybe it's the Russians who did that.
You
know, why they would be picking on the Orioles, I don't know, but why should they be any different picking a last place team? But I digress.
Yeah. We're all going to die at some point. Why not laugh between now and then, right? Right. You know?
I hear you, my friend.
Combine week, we have NFL, we got baseball, we have a war going on. I have a crab cake tour that I hope to see some old friends and new friends. We're going to be at Mama's on the Half Shell in Canton. How many times you stumbled around that corner, Rosenfeld? Be honest with me.
Well, I used to walk right across the street. Stumble's a good word. Sometimes it happens.
Well, we're going to have a crab cake, a scunny crab cake on the square. This Friday, we're at Mama's on the Half Shell. I'm reading from my whole schedule because I haven't memorized it yet. On the 10th, we're at El Guapo. That's Thursday afternoon. Don Moeller's going to join me. We're going to be out in Catonsville. Oh, I can't wait to do that. I mean, that's margaritas are going to be involved with that. And margaritas are going to be involved at Nacho Mama's next door to Mama's on the Half Shell as well. Costas on the 18th. I got my Costas shirt on underneath of my Raskin Global shirt. I'm a little chilly in here today. We're going to be at Costas. And I listen to this. We're going to be there on the 18th, which is the day after St. Patrick's Day. So the beer will be delicious. But it's also March Madness. So we're going to be there 2 to 5. It's going to be day 2 of March Madness. We're going to do some Baltimore Positive. Come on over to Costas. Watch the games. Have a crab cake. Have some crab imperial. I'm going to make them make me a crab melt. Nick and Pete, I'm going to get on them. And then the 23rd, we're going to be at Fade Lee's in Lexington Market. That is in the morning. We're going to be doing a special morning thing down there. We try to stay out of their way when they're doing business. So we get down there between 9 and about 11, 11:30. Come on down. Have a delicious crab cake and some crab crab mac and cheese as well. And then I'm going to do the April tour. I'll have plenty of free time, apparently, with baseball. Mike, I appreciate you, man. Anybody that needs Mike can find him. Mike at webconnection.com. You can reach him through me, or you can just go to webconnection.com to find him. Is that correct? Any other place you want him to find you?
No, that's perfect. I appreciate it. And, you know, everyone take a deep breath. Give a thought. I'm giving to some charities personally that are going to help them. It's really tough to sit on the sidelines and watch what's going on. I understand the politics of that. So if that's the least I can do, that's what we're going to do.
You know what? Sitting on the sidelines is what we should not be doing. That's why we're talking about it right now and getting a little bit of the emotion out. So, all right, Mike's here and we appreciate him. You can find him anywhere Good Baltimore Positive is distributed. I am Nestor. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, anywhere, everywhere, doing sports, doing politics, doing stuff, eating crab cakes, waiting for the world to change. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.